for the Memorial Day weekend and skip Sunday school. You miss some good stuff, so just thought I'd tell you that if that's the case for any of you. I'm going to use this for just a couple things, just for one or two things. So, no, I just need to use the bottom half and we'll be fine. You're going to laugh in a minute, though, but you won't be laughing when I'm finished. All right, let's take a moment and pray before we start. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the ability to come and meet together. And we've heard that our sister has her brother that's maybe not able to do some of the things he did before. I don't know if he's a child of God or not. Pray, Father, you'd have mercy on him. And we heard about Brother Duggan's neighbor and this young lady. Pray, Father, that the material that you gave her would work in her heart. And she would seek out the most important thing in her life. Pray, Father, you bless the preaching now, and the Word of God is so much, we have found it to be so much more than anything else in the world, and yet we have not followed it as we should, obeyed it as we should. Pray now that for this brief time it would be clear to us how valuable it is for Jesus' sake. Amen. How about Genesis chapter 2? Okay. Genesis chapter 2. Pretty common passage. Verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I'm going to show you something from Chinese characters that I might have done this before, and it doesn't actually relate to the lesson. Okay, it says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. The Chinese characters, there must be about a couple dozen of them that if you analyze them, you can find a bunch of Bible stuff in there. And the character for create, okay, will just basically runs with this verse. Okay, now the character for dust or dirt is just this. Okay? And the Bible says, the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground. And then what did he do? He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So at the bottom, we have this. Now, I bet anyone can guess what this picture is. The mouth. Okay? Breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. And then you add this up here. Okay, and what that becomes is the character for life, right here. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And then on the side over here is what's called a radical. That means walking. That's what they use it. And this is the character for create. Okay, and the pronunciation is Zao. And that's how it's used in the first verse, chapter 1, verse 1. Here's something interesting about that. The Chinese word for edify, okay, you also uses this character. This is Zao. The Chinese word for edify is Zao Jiu. Okay, it's in the first part, right? Well, now you can't get this from the English or probably the Hebrew or the Greek either, but only in the Chinese can you get this. When you are, if you're going to edify somebody, what are you doing? You're taking part in a process. You're helping God creating in them a clean heart, right? And renewing in them a right spirit. You're taking part in that process. That's a process that produces life that you can't do, but if you are walking with the Lord and you'll be obedient to the Lord and humble and edify somebody in the way that you should. That's something that's taking place. Pretty interesting. Well, I haven't told you what the sermon, the actual topic is this morning. But I need to do something here. Uh-huh. That's what I thought. I suppose we ought to go just go ahead and have an invitation at the beginning here. Whose office is this anyway? Who's responsible for this area? I preached a sermon in China, and I had to Englishify it to do it here. Lord gave me a bunch of American stuff in here. You'll get that in a little bit. I did this there. I did it in two different sessions, you know, because we have to split up our people. I did it in the first session, got up there and got a handful of dust. And I don't know, somebody who's ever was cleaning, you know, because I made a joke about the cleaning person out of it. And they went through there and they cleaned it. And then, of course, in the evening, I got to come back and do the same thing. I couldn't get any dust off there. It messed me up. I had a rope reach way across and make a big lawn to get anything you could see. Okay, so the topic this morning is dust. Dust. The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the earth. Now, you notice he didn't say soil, right? I mean, the Garden of Eden, that must have been a real lush place and beautiful, and then the soil must have been really high quality. How come he didn't say, and the Lord knelt down and picked up a handful of soil and then formed man? Why didn't he say that? The word soil does appear in the Bible, although only one place. How come he didn't say dirt? I thought Brother Robert was going to start in on my sermon. He mentioned dirt this morning. Dirt is only a couple places in the Bible, but it's there. Why didn't he say he formed man out of the dirt off the ground or something like that? Or picked a handful of earth? That word's over 1,000 times in the Bible. How about that? I didn't realize that until I looked it up. Over 1,000 times. Or clay. Why didn't he say the Lord God formed man out of the clay when he created him? Well, there's a reason for that. Clay is what God says you are after he's made you, after you've been created. And he's going to work you and mold you. But he started from dust to make us. Now, you all know what dust is. You know, that was a demonstration there. That was black dust. And if you see dust in some other places, it might look a different color. You wipe it off your black piano, it might look it looks like a different color. And dust is made of all kinds of different things. And you can see it, some of it. Some of it is so small you can't see. And it basically just floats around in the air all the time. And I suppose if you put in this type of dust is called aerosol. They gave it a special name. It means just floating around all the time. I think if you were to put it in a room where there's absolutely no movement at all, eventually every dust particle would settle out. But there's a whole bunch of it that's just floating around and it never falls to the ground, and it's made up of all kinds of different things. You know, stuff that sloughs off the fibers from the chairs. You know, you got from your clothes, you have probably skin particles that float off, and there are pieces of mosquito wings are flipping around there. And and there's some other nastier things in your house, like the the feces from the dust mite. They're floating around there too, and some people are allergic to that. Some of that stuff, of course, you can't see without a microscope. And that's what God made us from. He said he made us from the dust of the earth. Now, there's probably some stuff in the dust now that wasn't in the dust back then. And I think that's probably a good thing, or we might have a lot of mutants or something, right? It'd be bad. It would turn out. It wouldn't have lasted so long, maybe. Moses uses the word dust when he describes how he breaks up and destroys the golden calf. If you remember that story from Deuteronomy chapter 9, he says first he burnt it with fire and stamped it and then ground it very small even until it was as small as dust. Right? So the word dust in the Bible is just a way of saying something's really, really small. That's one of the things. We're going to be working on that this morning. Something that is so small, it can't be any smaller, is the idea. I mean, first he ground it, then he stamped it, then he ground it small, even small, until He couldn't get it any smaller because he was mad, right? Yeah. And the Lord wasn't happy either. Why did God use dust? Well, and not something else? Well, that's because he wanted people to know, when we go back and read this, that he's not just, a designer or a builder. These two kinds of occupation, they take materials that are already ready. You know, you go out and frame up a house, you didn't do those 2x4s, you didn't cut those, you didn't bake those and cut, you know, they're all ready to go. All the stuff that man builds, you know, the materials, someone made someone else, designers and builders, they're using someone else's materials. But God is the creator. He creates his own materials. He doesn't have to go get it from Lowe's or anything like that. You know, he didn't come in after the Big Bang and say, okay, now I'm going to straighten up. Now I got me something to work with. Now I'm going to make the universe. No. He is the creator of everything, the subatomic particles, not just the atoms, all the parts that go into the atoms. He made all of those also. He is the beginning of everything, of everything. That's what he wants us to know. And without God, there is no organization anywhere of any kind in anything. You wouldn't find it without God. And if you've, you know, read a little bit about evolution and so on, you understand the concept of entropy and that everything, if you just leave it by itself and you don't add anything from the outside, it's just going to eventually fall apart. And that's what happens to atoms also. They eventually just disintegrate. They fall apart until they have become the smallest of the smallest pieces, and there's no organization there left. And there's no energy. There's no life. God brings organization, and he brings life. The elements did not organize themselves. The proteins did not organize themselves. Regardless of what you learn, it doesn't matter if you say, but from the billions of years, there was certainly enough time. No. Billions and billions. It makes you in awe, right? Billions and billions. There's a phrase that I read on a restaurant sign, and it says, billions and billions served. Anybody know that company? Billions and billions served. They can't say 500 billion served, because then somebody would start thinking, well, maybe it's about time they start taking on some of this, economic downturn or something. And McDonald's should allow food stamps to be used there, and then we're not going to reimburse them. I mean, after all, they've already served 500 billion people. So, I mean, they've made enough money, right? So they don't put that up there. They just say billions and millions served. Billions and millions served. Let me ask you this. Those of you that have been eating McDonald's for more than 20 years, let me show a hand. More than 20 years. Really? Are there any more than 30 years? Have you been eating McDonald's for more than 30 years, anyone? Wow. Let me see. Okay. Yeah. Has the Big Mac evolved? Let me ask you that. Is it better now than it was? Well, maybe it's better. I mean, I suppose they've tweaked the sauce, and they've probably changed the content of the meat. It probably used to be 100%, and now they've been throwing in some... Now, that's devolving, right? That's devolving. But it has not changed into another burger, right? It is still the same species, the Big Mac. Oh, the price has evolved. The price has evolved, that's for sure. So after billions and millions of time, the Big Mac is still the same thing that it ever was. Why would anyone believe that the complexity of everything we see around us could happen as a result of billions and billions of years? It's absurd. It's beyond absurd. I don't understand it. How can people that are educated and they study this, I guess they just get wired into the details of their little field, and then if you start talking about the big stuff, they say, well, that's not my specialty. Oh, okay. It's not your specialty. Okay. God's organization is everywhere. Not only in our bodies, in the material world, the things that we use. It's everywhere. Not just in the material world. It's also, for example, in human relations. You ever thought about that? If we organize our, if we have our human relations according to the way God wants us to organize things, for example, in the family, the father's the head of the family, and the children obey the parents, things work really well, don't they? As long as everybody plays their roles and does what they should do, you know, you have the way God organized it, and then you have your responsibilities that God gave you. If you do all that, the thing works really well. God's organized the local church, right? We don't have there's no committee here, right? Unless, you know, there's might be some informal discussions. There's no board of directors, yet this is a corporation, right? No board of directors. You don't have one, brother, not that I know of. If you get away from it, then you lose God's blessing, don't you? Yeah. Now, the word dust in the Bible is also synonymous with just the idea of earth, the earth. The phrase dust of the earth appears a whole bunch of times. You know, it's part of the earth, dust and earth. In Job 39, he said this when the Lord was talking to him. He said, "Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich, which leaveth her eggs in the earth and warmeth them in the dust?" Just another way of saying earth. It's synonymous with that. Did you know that our planet is the only one that's not named after a god? Yep. It's just this real boring farmer's term. Earth. They tried to change it. They tried to get it to be called Terra. And there's a bunch of other names that, you know, I was looking this up. Oh, if you go into a whole bunch of other languages, there's all these names for the earth. I've never seen any one of them in any magazine, even, you know, something like one of the science magazines. Never. It's always Earth. I've seen Terra. You've probably heard that. How come they can't change it? Because everybody knows. It's just a big dust ball. Really big one. But it's just that. You know, you dig up a handful of Earth and you multiply it how many several billion times and you got a big ball. That's what it is. My home, the earth, big ball of dust. And we are here for the duration of this flesh, right? You don't get to go anywhere else. It doesn't, you know, you can go to school and work and work and work and then get on with NASA and then maybe you'll get a moon flight or maybe they'll send you off to Mars. Yeah, it won't help. There's more dust on the moon than there is here. What good would that do you? You want to go to Mars? I don't think that'd be any good. We're stuck here. This is where God put us. He made us from the dust of the ground, and there's no stairway to heaven. You got to stay here. For now, right? He said to Adam, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread," right? "Till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Out of sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread." Did you ever wonder if Adam sweated when he was in the Garden of Eden? Well, I mean, he didn't have to do any hard labor, so would he have needed to sweat? Did he sweat? I mean, I kind of think he probably did. You know, trying out his new body. How fast can it go? You bet. He's going to do some sprints and see how it works. Maybe do some stone lifting and see, okay, these muscles, hey, thanks, Lord, this works pretty good. But then he thought, well, you know, well, that was fun for him because, you know, it wasn't work. It's just fun. He's just trying it out, you know, and he sweat a little bit, doesn't matter. I can stop when I want. It's not like I have to do this for a living or anything. Haul rocks. Yeah, maybe he went like that a few times. But later on, it wasn't quite the same. He got out there and sweated, and he went like that, and then he had to get back to it. Right? And you keep going along there, and he sweat again. And this time, it goes like that. Or maybe he had a rag or something. I don't know. Wipe it, and it'd be like that. It wouldn't just be wet to have particles of dust on it, right? Because he's kicking up the plow or whatever he was using. Dust and sweat on his brow. Not as fun as it used to be. Yeah, it's not as fun as when you were a kid, is it? Being 10 was great, wasn't it? 6, 10, 5, all those ages in there. 3 is too small, you can't hardly... Well, 3 is pretty good, too. I wouldn't want to go back to 2 or something. 3, from 3 to 12, I'll take any one of those and give them to you. But then later, it isn't as fun anymore. You got to do something. You can't just say, well, I'm done playing. You got to keep at it. Today, tomorrow, next week. Some people have to do the same. They just do the same thing year upon year. Your job's not fun? God never said it would be. Not as fun as when you were a kid. Yeah, that was just kind of a dream world. That was a dream world. We just have to get used to it. It's not going to change, and at least not right away. We're stuck here for now. For now. Better get used to it. It might be a few more years, right? Maybe 10, maybe. If the Lord goes for another 20, I don't know what I'm going to do. But, it'll be bad if it lasts another 20 years, I think. There's another character there that's in the dust. We don't want to forget about him. That's in chapter 3, verse 14. Chapter 3, verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. He's right in there with us too. He's right in the dust slithering around. So don't forget, he's there too. Be careful, you might come across him just about anywhere. Somebody was talking about a big monster snake they ran across in the around the road. That was Brother Ingus, that was Brother Nolan. Yeah, he's around. You better just remember he's around. He might show up anyway. They're pretty sneaky sneaking around there. Don't forget. He likes to sneak up on people that aren't paying attention. Mm-hmm. So you kids, you got to pay attention. He's out there. You think he's not. You don't notice him anywhere. Well, maybe that's just because you're not paying attention. You got to pay a little bit better attention. And you might see him. And then maybe if you see him ahead of time, you'll keep yourself out of trouble. The word dust in the Bible represents our very nature. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Amen. As is the earthy, such are they that are earthy. And then it says, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And that's if you get in Christ, right? And I hope everyone here this morning is in Christ. We're bearing the image of the earthy now. But later on, we'll bear the image of the heavenly, just like the second man. That's going to be the time. And down in verse 49, it says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. And that's the problem, isn't it? This corruption cannot inherit incorruption. No matter what you do with it, no matter how you work it, no matter how you clothe it, it cannot inherit. That's the problem right there. Not only that, it represents some other things specifically. It represents our sin. Let's look at this one. This is in Job chapter 20. Job chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse 11. It says, his bones are full of the sin of his youth, which shall lie down with him in the dust. See that? What's he talking about from there? Where's that coming from? That is referring to the wicked in verse 5. See that? His bones are full of sin, which shall lie down with him in the dust. Pictures our sin. Dust does. And it represents that God is unwilling to look upon our sin. Go to chapter 30. Job chapter 30. In verse 19, he says, "He hath cast me into the mire, and I am become like dust and ashes. I cry unto thee, and thou dost not hear me. I stand up, and thou regardest me not. Thou art become cruel to me. With thy strong hand, thou opposest thyself against me. Thou liftest me up to the wind, and thou causest me to ride upon it, and dissolveth my substance. For I know that thou wilt bring me to death, and to the house appointed for all living. Howbeit, he will not stretch out his hand to the grave, though they cry in his destruction." Oh, in destruction you cry. So I guess you're not like destroyed for, you know, like the JWs teach, right? Just gone, that type of thing. You're still there. Do you see that? Underline that, just in case you need to use that. You still cry in destruction. God can't look upon our sin. Well, but the trouble does not actually originate with our flesh, though. Let's be clear on that. In Job 5, he says, 5-6 if you want to look, "Affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the earth." Yeah, that's right. Adam was formed already before he sinned. You're a sinner not because you're made of flesh. It's here. It's inside you. Now, you have a sin nature that was transmitted through the flesh, but you're a sinner because you're a sinner in your heart. Don't blame it on your flesh. It's right there. Dust represents the weakness and fleeting nature of our life. And this also God remembers. Psalm 103, verse 14. Psalm 103, verse 14. "For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." Praise the Lord. "As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him." You notice I put that at the end there. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. God remembers. He made you. He didn't forget what kind of materials he put into you. Okay, now, that was a miraculous work, and it works really good. If you study how the body does stuff, it's absolutely amazing. How it can repair and stuff like that. We were talking about organization not too long ago, and some things, it seems like they're disorganized. There's no organization, but actually there is. You know, you look at the capillaries and how they go through there, and you think, well, that's kind of all over the place. Well, yes and no, because there's never more than so much area that doesn't have a capillary nearby. And some of that stuff has a purpose of redundancy. For example, Pastor Stevens had a blockage. And so from some other area, there's going to, you know, cover that area again. Here's one I'm going to ask you. Zechariah chapter 9. I've been giving you the chapter 9 verse 3. You know, this is a judgment from God, he says. And Tyrus did build herself a stronghold and heaped up silver as the dust and fine gold as the mire of the streets. Now, what does the dust there mean? What is it a similitude for there? Well, he's saying as they heaped it up as the dust. So when they tack on as the dust, he's talking about it's heaped up like, well, remember when he said Abraham was going to have descendants as the dust of the earth? What was he saying there? Going to be so many you can't even count them, right? They heaped the gold and silver up as the dust. Well, maybe that's not the only thing he's trying to say. Because when Moses stamped that golden calf, burnt it, and then stamped it, and then ground it into dust, his intent was to just make it until it was useless. It will never be reformed. You can't sweep it up after that and then pour it back in the foundry there and redo it. I mean, if you just beat it up with a hammer and there's chunks on the ground there, you know, they could do that later. He beat it into a dust so it would be useless. No value anymore. I think that's one of the things God's trying to say here. If you heap it up like that, it has no value to do that with it. It becomes as dust. Wow, you have a whole pile, but it has no value. You say, yeah, I can count. It's on my bank account. I mean, the numbers are all there. I mean, I'm going to get gold coins. I can weigh them. I mean, they guaranteed me a certain purity. Oh, did you know that they've been finding gold bullion blocks in banks that are fake? Yeah. Yeah. In like big banks, they've been finding them. Oh. So I don't know if you can trust the American Mint or not. That's one of mankind's biggest mistakes. Mankind's made a couple big mistakes, right? Well, the first one was Adam. He made a big mistake right there. But man says, there is no God. Boy, that is a big mistake. The whole place is created by him. And then you say, well, I don't know. I don't think there's no God around here. That's what a fool says. And there's a lot of them. And that's the big mistake man says. There is no God. And one of the other big mistakes man makes is they think the flesh is all there is. They think the flesh is it. Everything evolves around this body and what I can do for it and what I can enjoy with it and how healthy it is and so on and so forth. But you know what? God doesn't place that much importance on our bodies. You know, if people ask you about, well, what about all of the suffering, young people or innocent children and the babies? Oh, they were burned in the fire. That's terrible. How can God do something like that? Well, the fact is, he doesn't place that much importance on the flesh. How can somebody that's a good person all of a sudden get a disease and be a cripple and all that? He doesn't place that much importance on the flesh. He places importance on the soul and the spirit. You know, well, so a baby dies early and goes right to heaven. That's what we know. So that'd be better for him. But you say, no, that's not right. The reason you say that is because you think his fleshly life, that child's fleshly life, is the only thing valuable. But that's not true. That's not true. God values that soul and that spirit. And if he takes that child to himself at an early age, that's a blessing to that soul, that child. But people, you know, you can tell them that. You try. See if it'll get through them. But they don't want to hear that. That's still, because then they can't say God is cruel. If they understand it, they won't be able to say God is cruel. They'd rather be able to say, it's a good excuse, God is so cruel. I can't believe in a God that would do something like that. The only value in our flesh is if we will yield our members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That's what gives it value. And if you have some material wealth, it only has value if it assists in that. If you want to heap it up and give some to your kids, leave some for your children, well, maybe that's maybe that'll be all right if they use it right. If they use it to do something worthwhile for the Lord. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But for sure, they can't take it beyond the grave. You can't. You can leave some to them, and they can't either. The Chinese, they used to bury things with a dead person if he was rich or like a royalty or something, and other cultures have done that too. They have, in fact, a lot of the artifacts now that if you can see Chinese artifacts and stuff, and we have a brother in China that deals with some of the cheaper things that are that are not that much value, that aren't in museums but have been dug up from the smaller graves and stuff. They did it all the time. They buried jewelry, and if they were richer, they buried bigger stuff. And you guys came and saw the Terracotta Wars. They buried whole armies, figurines and chariots and all that stuff, because they thought they'd be able to use it over there or something like that. Is that just their hope? They think it's going to go up there and somehow be... They still burn paper money to this day in China. I should have brought some. It's not quality currency. I mean, it wouldn't last in your pocket very long, but they only make it just to be burned. You know, the denominations are really big. You probably can't buy something less than 10,000 Chinese dollars to burn to your relatives. But they do it every year. When somebody, in fact, there's people that will not get saved, will not come to God, because then they cannot, they say, burn paper. Yeah, that's how they describe it. They can't burn paper, burnt money, to the relatives. They think that is such a so disrespectful to their older generation, and is like repudiating their family. They can't, they won't be able to do that, and they know it. So some of them don't want to get saved, and they go out and do it every year when they have the grave sweeping holiday. They go out there and they go up to the graves and burn it. In fact, also you'll see them in the streets, actually sitting on the street corner, burning a pile. And it's kind of creepy, because it's not just like one or two. You know, if you go out that evening and you drive around town, you can see dozens of people doing it. Yeah. Somehow they believe that what they have here, somehow if there can just be some representation of it and we can just send it on, then they can use it. Well, that's not true. None of it can go past the grave. You leave everything here. You become dust. Everything else you piled up will just be dust eventually. And it doesn't go past the grave, because the grave is the barrier between the flesh for us. At that time, when we die, it separates the flesh from the soul. How does it all end? Well, maybe you'll die a natural death. That'd be okay. Except when I mean natural death, I got to include in there death by disease, because that's natural, right? It says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it." You know where that's from? Shout out the book. Ecclesiastes where? What chapter? Come on. The last chapter. Chapter 12, right? I think that's a kind of a favored verse for a lot of people that do funerals that aren't really born again. You probably heard that one. You know why they like that one? They like to quote it, because it says, "And then the spirit shall return to God who gave it." Right? Oh, that's good. I know the body becomes dust, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. But they forgot the last verse in that chapter. You go ahead and look at that. What does that say? "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether..." They never go read on any farther than that. Everybody goes back to God. And then we're judged. Yeah. And it won't be weighing the goods and the bads. Besides, that wouldn't work anyways, because you're going to have way more bads than you have good. No matter who you are, And no matter how it looks from the outside, that's how it's going to turn out. So don't hope for that. That would be worse. Then you're guaranteed to end up in hell. Brother Angus had talked about our families going in the tribulation, and Brother Robert talked about that. You know, maybe that's how some of us, well, some that we know are going to end it. And I would hate to find out that, and you'd hate it more, that you find out that you thought you were saved, and then when everybody's get taken away, you're still sitting here. Zephaniah chapter 1. I'll just read it to you, verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near, it is near, and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man, shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. Well, that's how it's going to go for a lot of people. And some of our relatives too, of course. But you know, I'd rather have them go through that than die without Christ right now. So, if you have family, pray that if they're not going to get saved, at least they can hang on till then. Because when they see everybody's gone, they see you're all gone, they see their kids are gone, they're going to have to think something. And it won't be as easy to fool them as the whole rest of the population. Some lie is going to come out, and there'll be some explanation, but they're going to remember you were talking about this, and they won't be fooled. And they'll have another chance. So at least let them know about it. That's one of the hard things to witness or to say to. I mean, we can talk about, you know, God loves you, and He's willing to forgive you of your sin, and we can talk about what Jesus Christ has done for us. And, you know, the gospel is... maybe they know about Christ, and maybe they're not going to say, oh, that's... Well, some will say it's just garbage. They will. But a lot of people that have grown up in America or our older generation, they're not going to say that's garbage. They haven't accepted it yet. But when's the last time you tried to tell them about the rapture? Oh, that's going to work. If you tell them about the rapture, then you are certified nutso. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's just a really... He's a Jesus freak, and he's always talking about being born again and everything. You know, well, you're just kind of over there. You know, you're really religious. You know, way too religious than you need to be. But if you talk about the rapture, then you are. Maybe we need to call the hospital. Maybe we need to have someone come. Right? But you gotta tell them at least once. Maybe you need to get one of them rapture, after the rapture videos, and put it on your living room wall or something instruction book. If they make it, they got a chance. If they make it to that, they got a chance. Daniel chapter 2, and many, chapter 12, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. That's in verse 2 there. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth, okay? It doesn't say as the dust of the earth. There's going to be people sleeping in the dust. I mean, you are going to be sleeping in the dust. So that's the you part that's not your flesh. Your flesh is going to go back to dust. It's going to become dust again. But you are going to be sleeping in the dust. That's your soul and your spirit. You'll just be sleeping. And you're going to awake. If we die a natural death, then we're going to wake up. Some to everlasting life. Amen. And some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Dust. There's not much of to this flesh, is there? Leave it be for a while. Don't feed it. Let it expire. There was a guy years ago. He was an IRA. He protested in prison. He went on a hunger strike for some 40 days. And he started to come apart. Yeah, bones started to poke out, stuff like that. You'll disintegrate. And we're just going to live here, and we're going to stay here for a while, and it's not going to be easy, right? Sister Jen? I'm going to do the piano pretty quick here. If you want to come up. And if you think it's going really good and it's not hard at all, maybe you forgot about the serpent. Maybe you forgot. Maybe if it's been a really, really, really fun. I'm not against fun, but if you're fun, man, this is just a lot of fun. You don't have to start a sister. This is just so much fun. You probably forgot that he's going around there. Because there are going to be some fun, but there won't be that much. There won't be that much. Just remember, though, Jesus took upon himself the form of a servant, right? Was made in the likeness of men and found in fashion as a man. He pointed that out to us three times. He said it like that in Philippians there. He just didn't say one. He said it three times. He took upon himself the form of a servant. And he was made in the likeness of a man. He found in the fashion as a man. God wants you to remember that and understand that. Don't forget that. He's up in heaven now. And so we can't touch him. But all of the things that we went through, he went through too. God wants us to remember. He was as the dust, like fragile. He did that too. He went that road like that too. You probably say though, but he never had to be put on the potter's wheel. Oh, don't be so sure. It says he learned obedience, right? Well, I don't know where he learned it, but he allowed God to mold him, and he learned to do exactly what the Lord, His Heavenly Father, wanted Him to do. But you know what? Maybe you've been on there a couple times already. He was only need to be on there once. You know why? Because there was no flaw found in Him. When God decided to mold His Son, His only begotten Son, the Son that pleased Him, He exactly what He wanted to do with Him, He put Him on there, and the consistency was perfect already. And He just molded Him exactly the kind of vessel that He wanted Him to be. A vessel that He could pour in His Spirit without measure. Wow, that's a vessel, isn't it? Pour in the Holy Spirit without measure. Well, I have to backtrack if I say He was on there He was only on there once, because at one point, you know what the Lord did? He took Him off the wheel anyways. And He changed Him from a vessel. He could no longer be a vessel for what He had to do on the hill of Golgotha, right? You saw what the Brother Ingus did. You know, he takes it and the vessel that was filled with the Spirit beyond measure became something. I don't know exactly how He would have done it, but it was no longer a vessel. And He brought it together again, and then what did He do? Stretched it out, became a snake, right? And then He nailed Him on the cross. And the Savior was even willing for that. Even willing for that. Well, let's go ahead and bow then.
You go ahead and place this or something.
I'll just ask a few questions before we stand and sing. Give you a chance. How important is your flesh to you? I'm not saying don't take care of it. I'm not saying just ignore it. Those things that you should do, it's a blessing to be healthy. But if it's too important, then that's a problem also. Is it everything? It's only good for one thing. To yield as instruments of righteousness unto God. What value do your material possessions have to you? Sure, that's how we get through life. We have to have that stuff. Can't run around naked. They have their place, but are they more to you than they should be? Is it where you get all your fun from? Have you forgotten that one day our spirit will stand before our Creator? It's really short, the time we have. That's why the Lord didn't make them to last so long. Nobody gets 1,000 years anymore. You don't even get 100 hardly. He's only got us here for a little while. So don't forget. And don't forget Him, because He was the same for 30 years. So if you find it tiring, and you find the curse that has been placed on man is just wearing on you, don't forget that He was there too, and He'll be right with you now. All right, let's go ahead and stand. That's number 249. Okay, let's go to the first one. Here we go. That you remember. You made us from dust, and we won't be on this earth long, although too often we think it's a long time, and then we act like it's forever sometimes, but it's just temporary. Help us to remember that to yield our instruments as righteousness unto you, and that's the only thing we can do with this flesh, Father. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.